Morning, everybody. It's nice to see you all here. What a beautiful Sunday morning we have to come and gather in the house of God with the people of God to worship Him and to sing of His love. Today, we will wrap up our mini-series, three-week mini-series on the Sabbath. And for those of you who don't know me, my name was on the screen, but we'll be informal about it and say, my name is Matt Schwartz. I'm the pastor of worship and operations here, and it just brings me joy and pleasure and excitement to come and preach and bring the word to you all this morning. This is a learning community. This isn't a top-down approach. We are all pilgrims together following after Jesus. So if this is your first time hearing about who Jesus is or the 52,000th time, we are all on a journey together, and we are excited to be here together. If you've been around, you've known that we take a few minutes out of every service right before we preach to pray for the bigger C church. So not just us here at Terra Nova, but the larger C church, local churches in the area. We've prayed for churches in Buffalo. We've prayed for churches in Syracuse. We've prayed for churches all over the capital region. This morning, we are going to pray for this church here, First Baptist Church. We have a wonderful relationship with First Baptist, of course. We've been renting this space and doing church alongside them for 10 years now. And so Pastor George Stefani, along with the board of trustees and deacons, sent me some prayer requests to be praying for them. And if you see someone from First Baptist after our service, they start here at 12. If you see somebody, just let them know we love them and we're praying for them and we're grateful for their friendship and our co-laboring together as Christians. So would you bow your heads for a moment, and I'm just going to lift up our friends at First Baptist Church and pray for their ministry. Heavenly Father, we are just excited and encouraged to see how your church works and to be in relationship with others that are also proclaiming your word and worshiping you. I thank you for our friends at First Baptist Church and their legacy here in the city of Saratoga. I pray that you would continue blessing their church and their congregation. Pour your blessings over Pastor George and particularly his wife Becky, who is recovering from some illness and is home from the hospital. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray for the members of their congregation that have some acute needs and some personal issues right now. We pray for the families of the children that have become part of their church, that they would yearn to have a strong walk in faith and to become part of this Christian church and this Christian community. Lord, we pray for the various outreach opportunities that First Baptist has, whether it's through their thrift shop, through their grief share program, through Alcoholics Anonymous, through the many homeless ministry partners that they partner with. Lord, we know that these needs are ever increasing. We pray that you would equip the people of First Baptist Church to do the hands and feet work of Jesus in this city. And I pray for our upcoming Easter services that people would be reawakened in their love of Jesus and reawakened in their desire to follow him. And I just pray for our brothers and sisters that you would keep them safe, keep them healthy, Lord, and continue blessing them as they proclaim the word of Christ in our city. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. All right, so we're going to finish up this series on the Sabbath, but it feels to me like very much a start to what it means to live Sabbath, what it means to set apart a day a week for Sabbath. And for some of you have been doing this for decades. Some of you, this is brand new information. And so it's an exciting place to be as a church. And so today we're going to do two things. I'm going to speak on what the Sabbath and worship have to do together, and what it means to interact with this day. And then we are going to hear from our own Tamara Hopkins, who has been practicing Sabbath for 20, 30 years, a long time. And so she is much wiser than me, definitely. And so we wanted to get her up here to kind of talk shop a little bit. Not just philosophy, but actually practical implications about where the Hopkins family has found the beauty of practicing Sabbath over a long period of time. But as we begin today, I want to kind of bring us down to the pavement for a moment and set up for us kind of where, if you're wondering today what this should all mean to you, I want us to all kind of come back into the same place. And it's set up beautifully by Madison and Daniel the last couple of weeks. We've been understanding that the Hebrew word Sabbath really means four things, and it's progressive. And today being kind of the end of that, I want to bring us back to the beginning. But the progression here we see is stop, rest, delight, and worship. And yes, we're going to talk about worship, but in order to worship, we need to delight in something. In order to delight into something, we need to first rest. And in order to rest, we need to stop. So this is very much a beautiful progression. And I want us to be sure, okay, that the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath is not punitive. It's not even a prohibition. It's a beautiful invitation. It's an open door into something that God has made good for us. So this isn't a static thing that we must ascend to or blindly follow, but God asks us to bring to him what we have and to trust him through obedience, and he lovingly works through us and in us. So what I mean here, church, is that if all you can do right now, if all you've ever done or attempted to figure out what the Sabbath thing means, if all you can do is just stop, cease from things, start at level one, not level 10, if all you can do is just stop. Do that once a week. Don't schedule things. Don't do chores. Don't attend engagements. And maybe it doesn't actually lead to anything extraordinary right away. Maybe just stopping feels like kind of crummy. Maybe right away you don't feel great and you don't think, oh, I'm restful and I'm worshiping, but it's okay. Some of us just need to start somewhere, and we need to start to stop, if that makes any sense. And maybe you are just starting with an evening or a set number of hours. Maybe just obeying God and his desire for your rest. Maybe just stopping and starting there, okay? That maybe after weeks and months of just doing that, then your body might actually start to feel rested. And maybe after months and weeks of this, maybe actually you start to enjoy this day, and it's a delight to you. It's a delightful time, whether that's Saturday or Sunday for you, and we don't have time theologically today to talk about the differences there, okay? If you want to hang around afterward for the Terra Talks, we're going to look a little bit at the use of the law from the Old Testament. But maybe right away, it's just really basic, okay? Maybe it's not like you are sipping chilled wine while your children play delightfully on the carpet and your spouse speaks poetry and psalms over you, okay? Maybe it doesn't happen that way right away. Maybe someday, I don't know, depending on how old your children are, but maybe this pattern of rest actually makes you feel better. Your body rests. And maybe eventually you start to delight in these things. And maybe it goes beyond just, wow, I can't wait for Sabbath because I get to eat good food and I get a couple naps or a nap, Lord willing. But maybe your delight begins to be in the Lord. And maybe if we obey this call to stop once a week, that God will become our delight and we will worship. So maybe these things ebb and flow, and maybe you have a great, wonderful Sabbath, and maybe you have a really rotten Sabbath. That happens. But take heart in these things. It's not easy, okay? This is a resetting. It's a recalibration. It's a restoring, and it takes time. And it's radically counterintuitive to the way that we are. It is radically counterintuitive to the way we are. And it's radically countercultural, especially in the day and age in which we live. a big fan of mine. Well, I'm a big fan of hers. She doesn't know who I am. Sorry. I'm a big fan of the author and writer and spiritual director, Ruth Haley Barton. She says this all the time. She says, start where you are, not where you think you should be. Start where you are. Just start. God never calls us to something that we aren't capable of doing. And he doesn't call us to things that are not for our good. All right? So really quickly, three-minute snapshot of my family's journey in Sabbath. Sure, as a kid, it was like church on Sundays, and we were super holy, so we went to church twice a day on Sundays. We actually had evening services, and I thought, oh, that's really interesting. That's just the way I was raised. And so I always kind of thought, like, Sundays or Saturdays, whatever it was, it didn't really matter. It was kind of Sabbath-y. But as I got older, okay, it kind of lost that practice and rhythm in my life. Jessamyn and I, a couple years ago, we started building a house, and that was kind of a really big thing. And then I quit my job and I started, the Lord called me into full-time ministry, and we were struggling to have a third child. We had, and even write this down, we had a miscarriage, and life was, life was crazy. It was crazy. And Jessamyn came to me one day and she said, you know, we had started kind of thinking and talking through rhythms as a family, like once we get into this house and once we get established on our homestead and all this stuff, like how are we actually going to start living again? And one of those things was Sabbath. Like, do we take time off? Can we take time off to rest and to rejuvenate? And I thought, you know, that's a really great idea, but like we don't have time to do that. We just don't. We're trying to start this little farm. We're trying to finish this house. I'm trying to figure out how to be a pastor. And I remember Jessamyn saying to me, we are imploding. We are going to die as a family. We need to do something for ourselves. And I remember looking at her and saying, no, we can't. We don't have the time. And she said to me, she was actually pretty nice about it. She's like, you know what, Matt? Like, that was really prideful. And I thought, I mean, it took me a few days because I was really mad at what she said. But it took me a few days, and I said, you know what? You're right. For me to say that my time frame and my to-do list is more important than God calling me to set aside time each week to be present with my family, present in my space, to rest and to be present with God and to know God and to worship God and make much of him. Like, man. So, I don't do this perfectly. We don't do this perfectly. We fail most of the time, but it's an obedience that we've tried to have as a family over the last couple years. And I'm actually on the days that we take a Sabbath, usually Saturday for us, I'm actually more aware of my limitations than anything. I'm actually more aware of my deficits. I'm actually more aware of what I lack. And I think that's the Lord really working in me to build up what the infinite blessings are in Christ. But it doesn't feel great all the time, I'll tell you. We fight a lot on the Sabbath. Surprise, surprise, your pastor and his wife, we fight, okay? Sorry. We do. We fight with our kids. We have disagreements. Things aren't perfect, but we've tried to be obedient to God's call in our life to set aside time to stop and to rest and to be present. So I hope that that's an encouragement to you and not like, oh man, I could never do that. You can. You can. All right. So this morning, I want to open the Word of God because this isn't just an idea that we had as a church or that the early church had or whatever. This is actually from Scripture. So I want you to open up to Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15. It's on the screen behind me, and if you want to grab your Bibles and open that up. And for those of you who are able to stand, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Deuteronomy 5:12-15 says, this is God speaking, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy to the Lord your God, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." You may be seated. Let me pray for us. Lord, help our time. Help us to understand the things that you teach us, and give us grace. And Holy Spirit, would you move in our hearts to show us the ways that we need to be corrected, but that you would just give us encouragement. And you would lovingly take us by the hand and carry us to the places that you are calling us to. Amen. All right, so a big idea for today, and just so you know, I'm going to try to make this as brief. This will be hopefully one of my shorter sermons that I've ever attempted to preach, because I want to have time to talk with Tamara up here. But this is going to be very devotionally focused, okay? So I want us to take a couple things away from our service this morning. And the one thing is this big idea. And my big idea for this morning says, when we make rest about God, we will worship him because he is indeed the author of it. When we make rest about God, we will worship him because he is indeed the author of it. And our roadmap, we're going to look at two things today. And the two things in that vein is that we're going to look at Sabbath as a calling to help us worship. So it's a calling from God to help us worship. And two, we're going to look at Sabbath as an instrument of worship. Sabbath as an instrument of worship. Okay, so first of all, this calling piece, okay? This gets some people a little bit uncomfortable because we are new covenant Christians. We do see that we are free from the old laws. And again, hang around afterward. You can dig in deep with Pastor Daniel and Madison after. We're going to talk about the Old Testament and the law. But we do believe that we are free from the law. So that there are things from the law that were commanded to the Israelites that are no longer binding for us. However, very simply, God in this passage and God in the creation narrative calls us, tells us, commands us, again, however you want to say it, to keep the Sabbath, to observe it, to remember it, to do it. It is still, I believe, applicable for us today. Okay? But I want us to see that ultimately that we are designed by the way that God made all things. We are designed for regular weekly rest. It's baked into the order of creation. Genesis 2:2-3 says, "On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So God says, take a full 24-hour day of rest each week. But he didn't just say that. He lived it. He did it also. Okay, so here's a fun factoid, okay? Some of you, this is obvious, but I thought it was really, really profound. The week, so the seven-day week is the only measured time that we have that isn't visible in the celestial beings. Okay, so if you watch and observe, you will figure out what a day is, okay, by the rotation of the earth. Like that's pretty, you know, that's a rhythm we see days happen, okay? And then the month is made from the moon's passage around the earth, so we could figure that out eventually, okay? And then the year is the earth's complete orbit around the sun. So the celestial beings will set for us days, months, in years. But the week is 7 days long because God said so. Right? Because God said so. Not because the planet said so, but God said so. God designed the span of time that he knew would be good for our flourishing, the span of time of our work and rest. He figured that out. He commanded us to keep the Sabbath for our good, not just for a rule to follow. And we know, if we've been living a little while, we know that we are no good when we don't stop and rest. And if we take it a little further and say that if we don't stop long enough to rest and refocus our eyes and our hearts on God and worship, then we aren't fulfilling our chief end as believers, which is in the first question of the Westminster Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. What a great chief end. Not to make more money, not to build a bigger house, not to, I don't know, have great vacations. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So hopefully we're seeing that this calling into Sabbath isn't a blank, cold prohibition. There is purpose in it for our flourishing. Look at verse 15. This is God speaking. So God has already said, keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day, and keep it holy. He says in verse 15, it says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Do you hear what he's saying? We are called by God to keep the Sabbath so that, we can have time and space to remember him and his deliverance so that our hearts could worship. What a beautiful gift. In this passage in Deuteronomy, God gives us this specific example of deliverance for the Israelites. He's saying, remember that you were a slave and I rescued you. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Keep time in your weekly to remember what God has done for you. Remember his deliverance for you. And we can apply that to ourselves now, can't we? Our deliverance in Christ. We were once slaves to our sin. And because of Jesus, we can be free. Daniel and Madison reminded us of two other ways that we can stop and remember God, both in his provision for us, in his goodness for us. So what a great place to start that we can apply to ourselves, that as we try to engage with this idea called Sabbath with our own families, it's a great place to start to ask the questions, where has God delivered you? Where has God provided for you? Where can you see God's goodness? That's really easy. And that doesn't take sitting down with a family for a 45-minute Bible study and reading scripture all day. It really takes a frame of mind that remembers that you are delivered. God has provided for you, and he is good. And live in light of that. Be free. Take a walk. Take a nap. Eat some good food. Read your Bible. Play with your kids. Do a craft. The Sabbath is a set-apart day to think through these things. And if we remember those things and we focus on those things, our eyes will move past our idols and they will be put on God. So the command from God at its core, if you don't want to see it as a command anymore, that's okay. I'm okay with that. We can talk later more about how we can figure that out as New Covenant Christians. But the command from God is at its core an invitation, a calling to something that left to our own devices, we probably, to be quite frank, we probably wouldn't do. Because our idols are so much more readily available and shiny and distracting and needy. So this set-apart day for us to stop, to rest, to delight, to worship in the deliverance of God and his provision and his goodness, it's for our own good. Now, let's think about our post-Sabbath our current post-Christian world that we live in. I'm not going to knock the culture, okay, but I just want to say very objectively that I think we would agree we've really moved past this rhythm of Sabbath, even from a cultural standpoint, not just a religious one, but a cultural one. Because I'm old enough to remember that things when I was a kid, like, things weren't, like, we didn't do things on Sundays. You know, when I started playing baseball at 12, 13, like, the first time my coach scheduled a practice or a game on a Sunday, we were, like, appalled. We're like, you can't do that. So, again, and that's not a knock on sports or the current culture. I'm just saying, I'm old enough to remember a time when our society moved a little bit more like, okay, one day a week, like, stores aren't open. At least that, right? Most people went to church on Sundays. Sports didn't really happen. Okay, so if we look at our current culture and we look at how we've moved away from there, can we objectively say, obviously people back then weren't happy, but objectively we can say this rhythm of kind of we move every day of the week now, okay, it hasn't made happier, more successful whole people. Okay, it's really making us more stressed, more addicted, more anxious, more depressed, more sick, more empty. I think it would be hard to debate that against what I've just said, just by looking at our culture. So God needed to call us. He needed to command us into rest so that we would do it, so that we would have the time to remember him, so that we could worship, so that we could be blessed. It's not a blank prohibition. It is for our own good. It's a gift. God doesn't want to control us. God wants us to be free, and he wants us to be free in him. So let's take a look now at Sabbath as an instrument. Okay? So it's a very metaphoric, expressive part, because that's who I am. I'm an expressive guy. So the Sabbath as an instrument, okay? This isn't an achievement-based activity. It actually takes time to learn and to implement this into our lives. And if we see the end goal of Sabbath being worship, we have to start somewhere. So we have to open up the case of the instrument, okay? So props. I always have this thing with me. Most of you have one of these things with you, okay? This is a device, okay? This is an instrument, okay? A device automatically makes your life better without you doing anything. You buy it, you turn it on. Now, some of you are saying, I can't figure out technology. It's really hard. Okay, so just bear with me. A device is meant to make your life instantly easier and better, okay? That's what a device does. An instrument, you can't just open up a guitar case or a trumpet case and start playing like Miles Davis, okay? It takes time and effort to learn. A device fast tracks us to where we're going. An instrument is something that we need to engage with. The Sabbath is an instrument for us. Mark 2:27 says that Jesus says that he made Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. So God is saying, here's this gift. Here's this instrument for you to come humbly to practice, to play it with me, to delight in. But to play it proficiently, there needs to be time and effort. One of my godly Christian brothers, I can't even remember who it was, but I know it's a godly Christian man in my life, has said once that God is not against effort. He is against earning, but he's not against effort. And so I want to remind us that if we approach Sabbath, not as this, okay, we got to do this thing, but like, this is a treasure chest of opportunities for us to learn and to grow. And it takes time, and some days you don't want to practice. Okay, I spent many, many years of my life practicing hours and hours a day. Some days you don't want to practice. But when you're playing proficiently, it's a gift, it's a blessing. So I want to move to close this time so we can hear from from our friend Tamara. But I want to wrap up with a word that I feel like as I was studying, that the Spirit really gave me, and He wanted me to remind us as we think of Sabbath, this word obedience. Okay? God is asking His children, you and I, to obey Him. In Him telling us, you need to rest. Can we obey Him? If we can come to grips with Him calling us to that and believing Him that one day in seven be set apart to be holy for Him, that in that day that we can stop and rest as He did, that it's for our own good. And whether that ends in a beautiful day of worship or not, can we obey Him to say, just start by trying to stop? Then hopefully we can rejoice in this reality that your Heavenly Father has given the Sabbath to us. He has said, I know you, I love you, you are made in my image, and part of how I created you and part of how I am is one day in seven is set apart for you to rest and to worship me. So Tara, this is kind of a big, it's a big shift for some of us. It was for our family, it still is. Would you risk your life, your calendar, your work hours, your sports schedule, your personal desires, your commitments to obey this calling from the Lord to take time to rest, to slowly learn how to play this instrument we call Sabbath, and in turn, get to know God better, who is the designer of it? And my heart for us as a community is that we would obey in the small things and in the big things. And you are not alone. There's actually a number of families, a growing number of families, who are having a go at this. So, Tamara, come on up. We're going to hear from her. Did you get the mic from... Can we get that mic up here? Thanks. Okay, so... My heart for us as a community would be that we obey, that we would start at level one, okay? Some of us haven't even opened up the instrument case. It's okay. Crack it open. Take a shot. Some of us are at level 10 in this room, okay? But regardless, God is wooing us to Himself and calling us into a closer relationship with Him. So my prayer for us and encouragement for us is that we would all learn to play with this gift, this instrument called Sabbath. And I pray that this congregation, that this family would turn into an orchestra. See what I did there? That we would turn into this beautiful orchestra of us journeying through and figuring out and playing with this thing called the Sabbath, which is for our rest, which is for our own good. And that we would be more transformed into Christ-likeness together. Okay, let me pray for us to close this time, and then we'll get down to some cool questions here. All right, Lord, thank you for the Sabbath. Thank you for this idea of rest, whether it's a journey into figuring out what this means for like a 24-hour period, or whether we're just starting with a couple hours, or whether we're starting with kind of a focused mindset. I pray that you would give us grace, that we would see your goodness, that we would see that you've delivered us, that you've provided for us, and that you are good. And that we would be people that are transformed into more Christ-likeness as we take time and we sacrifice time to focus on who you are and what you're calling us to. So yeah, we just need a ton of grace with this. We need a ton of encouragement. We thank you. In your name we pray, amen. All right, Tamara Hopkins, welcome. Daniel and I talked with Tamara a couple weeks ago, and we said, you know, we're doing this thing on Sabbath. It might be really cool to hear from somebody who has been practicing Sabbath for about how long?
We'll say 30 years.
Okay, 30 years. I mean, that's pretty significant, okay? So I have a couple questions, and some of this is going to be organic as we just kind of have a conversation back and forth, but I want to ask First, thank you for doing this, by the way. This is really great. What would be your kind of Cliff Notes description of what Sabbath is and what it's meant for your family?
So I do think it's only fair to start. When I asked some of my kids about this, the first said, well, as long as you're honest. So this is not as someone who is a master in any way. This is just someone who has seen it as a gift from the Lord and has tried to accept that gift and to unwrap it over the course of many years. Another one of my children said, but we don't honor the Sabbath. That's one of those great teaching moments when you sort of say, okay, so tell me what our Sundays look like. And by getting to the end of what our Sundays look like, finally there was that light bulb that said, oh, I guess that is how we celebrate the Sabbath. So praise God, it did come all the way around, or I would have said, sorry, Matt. Your question, though, was about what we get from this.
Well, I guess what is it meant for your family?
I do think
just not just practically, not philosophically, yeah. But what is it meant for your family?
I think that the big piece is that we take the idea that we are meant to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, and the Sabbath is a way of entering that joy. It really is about joy. It's intended to be taking joy in Him, taking joy in one another. I think that it is also, and this is over the course of many years, taught me that I can love God through my children, through my family, through those around me. And so the act of spending, because often our Sundays are, well, they're always full of people, right, when you have 9 children. But that time together, you know, I'm someone who might actually enjoy just being by themselves reading a book. But being with everyone and being loving God by loving and serving my family, drawing closer to Him by the time that we spend together, I think that's really our takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah, so besides that kind of, that might be a misconception of the Sabbath, is when it has to be a really sullen day where we just, you know, we kind of sit around and nobody talks and we read books and stuff like that. Besides that misconception, what are some of the misconceptions maybe you and Matt early on had, kind of trying to figure this out, especially when you brought the kids into the world as
right.
well?
So we were, you know, fully in that we were going to live our lives entirely for the Lord from the time that we were married. From the time we were engaged. That was what our lives, we wanted them to be countercultural. That was it would be swimming upstream. It would be different from what was expected. But we wanted to still do that the right way. And so we figured, well, some people say there is a right way, so let's just do it that way. Let's make sure there's, you know, it's quiet. It's, I don't know, that it's full of rules. And that when we don't measure up to those rules, we feel pretty lousy about ourselves, and maybe that's conviction. Hmm. And that we do keep our eyes on those around us, and maybe we look around and say, huh, okay, well, at least I'm doing it better than they're doing it. And so there was a lot of judgment that was a part of that, and there was little joy in the midst of trying to hush children through a Sunday afternoon or say, you're enjoying this, you know, stern eyes. So that was a big thing to work through, to the point of saying, okay, this is not right. And maybe it's because we just lack so much discipline. We can't do this correctly. But this is not what Sabbath can look like for us and for our family. And so starting from kind of, well, what is refreshing? What does that look like? What does rest look like? And so those of you who knew Matt knew that he kind of had 2 speeds, right? He was either asleep or he was on the go.
Yeah.
So trying to plan a Sabbath meant that it would be full of those 2 things. There would be sleep, and there would be, you know, full-speed adventure. And that was what we ended up doing, and that was our family, and that was our culture, mm-hmm. and that has brought us great joy. Yeah. And as we've invited others to enter into our Sabbaths for different times, it appears to extend that joy to others, too.
So it certainly evolved over the years, not just from a set of rules, because we're not really given a ton of rules. It's kind of this instrument analogy. And so, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's kind of evolved through the years of, you know, first being married and no kids to having kids and kind of what that's looking like. And there'll be another progression, I'm sure, you know. So that's beautiful to hear all of that. Can you tell us a story? Maybe you've told a lot of stories as we were preparing for this, but a couple stories of, like, something you learned about God on the Sabbath. Like maybe one of the boating trips I'm thinking of. And then maybe, after that, maybe kind of what was the time that you experienced the most delight in worship and like fullness of Sabbath?
I do remember this time early on. So we had lots of little kids. Probably the oldest was maybe 9 or something like that. And we lived on a creek. And so it worked well for our family to have our naps and then pull out all the canoes and kayaks and floatable things that we could find and just go down the creek. And so I remember just doing this, just being together, having a good time, and then reaching one point in the river where you could easily go around these, we'll call them rapids, because our oldest was 9. But one of our kids was like, no, I'm going through. Well, we could just go. No, I'm going through. I'm like, okay. So she tried, and she tried, and she tried. And by this point, everybody has gotten around, and she's like digging in and did it. I mean, in my memory, it took her 20 minutes, and the rest of us were on the other side. And I don't know how long it was, really. But through that, it was a picture of, Lord, you've provided an opportunity to help my kids grow in important ways, like how to commit, how to have grit, how to persevere and endure and what that looks like. And actually, then you provided this entire picture for our whole family, because all we have to say is, you know, remember when so-and-so wouldn't give up. That's what you need to do right now. You need to be like them.
Yeah.
And so it was just a simple, it was time that was set aside to be with my kids, and the Lord offered it back as, this was, you took this gift from me, and so I'm using this gift in their lives to help create them to be the people that you want them to be. And that sort of story of, you know, whether it's been skiing or hiking or biking and reaching a point either of not wanting to go on and needing to. There have been such important life lessons that have been learned through our Sabbath. Because it's a time that's just, okay, Lord, do what you will. We are here. We are here taking delight in you. We are here all together. We're wanting to honor and love you in this time that's where we're playing together.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. Can you talk, if you don't mind, could you talk about last summer?
Absolutely. Because this, I feel like, really brought it together for our family, but for others as well, of understanding Sabbath. And certainly, so as Matt was sick in July, he was no longer able to come to church. And so we would often have worship evenings at our house. And so he just couldn't get to church, but he was in a wheelchair, and we could bring him to the river. And we could be there with the river in the background and just worship the Lord together. And those were beautiful times of both being in community. We weren't there by ourselves, but we were surrounded and supported, and even seeing Matt at times, we have pictures of him standing and praising the Lord during that time. He was able, even when words were failing him, music was not, and so he was able to join in. And so that was lovely. And there was this holiness about our Sabbath days, whether we came to church. Sometimes some came, some stayed at home with him. Sometimes we were all together watching the service, or even just singing together. Everybody, sometimes those Sundays, everybody would be asked to bring something to our time. And it would be music, or it would be scripture, or it could be any number of things. So that was just really sweet, and it felt as though a real time that was set apart during that week, genuinely seeking to honor the Lord and to rest in his presence. And so then with that sort of, in a sense, pr- preface. On September 4th, some of the kids came to church. Abby and I stayed home. We worshiped with Matt. Everyone came home. We had lunch together. We had a number of people from church who came and spent some time with Matt and I and that afternoon, praying for him, praying over him as he was struggling to breathe, but that had happened for several days. And then it was our Sabbath routine, right? So from there, it was a time of playing together. And so the kids all went off to a friend's house where they played. I was at home with Matt. And then there was that moment when the Lord said, "This Sabbath is eternal. This Sabbath will continue forever. You are entering your rest." And it was a beautiful picture of what our Sabbath is for, that it's intended to be a precursor. It's intended to be a glimpse of our eternal rest.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. As we close, what would be, if you had to encourage our family here at Terra Nova Church, what would be kind of your overall encouragement for us as a church, for those of us who maybe have tried practicing Sabbath, or for those of us that this is a completely new concept?
There's certain things that just need to be in place. Like, you have to build certain structures into your life. There has to be some kind of intentionality. And I say this with humility, with, you know, sometimes needing to do the grocery shopping that I wish I didn't have to do. Or, you know, sometimes I don't plan as I should. Or sometimes our Saturdays are so full we say, that was our Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. But the idea of being intentional and making choices. And because I myself, when the kids say on our way to church sometimes, "So what are we doing today?" If I don't have a plan, I say in my heart, why do I have to be responsible for this all the time? Can't somebody else be in charge? But it's not like that. You know, God has said, you're the one. There'll be a time when they are in charge of their Sabbath, but for right now, it's for you to set that plan for them. And so it's making those plans. It's for us, you know, we have a set menu so that I don't have to think about food. We wake up to waffles. We have open-faced sandwiches. We have a special treat of Sunday chips at lunchtime, juice and seltzer. simple things, right? I mean, but it just makes it not only easier, but it's something to look forward to. And they're not really called potato chips in our house anymore. They really are called Sunday chips. So when people ask for them on other days of the week, it's problematic. They see the problem. There's pizza for dinner. But there's also generally some sort of plan for the afternoon. There's always worship. Time for worship is set apart in the morning. It's a given. Even if we're not here, if we're somewhere else, we find a church, we go to be with the Lord's people. If we can't do that for one reason or another, then we'll listen in the car, whatever it might be. But then what are you going to do? How are you going to love the people that God has given to you this day? And that may be family, but that may be friends. That may be, you know, people that you are mentoring. It may be people that he is using as wanting to mentor you. But spending time with that. But the key is intentionality. And so, I mean, I say this even as we see this, you know, front row full of Hopkins, that's a piece of it. And Matt would always say, you know, he would always lead us to the front row. And if we were late, we would say, "Not today, right, not today. Today we'll just sneak in the back." No, here we go. And that was a piece of that was because you are entering the Lord's house. You are going to worship, and you need to pay attention, and you need to not have distractions. So what does it take to set apart those distractions? I'm sorry, man. I could talk for a long time.
No,
I hope that gave you something.
I wish you could, and there's so much more here, friends. I just want to encourage you to shoot Tamara an email, talk to her after church, shoot me an email, and I can connect you with other people in this congregation that are trying to figure out what this means for us as a family. You are not alone, and this is very much a sandbox of discovery here, and it's our goal not to make this dogmatic or rule followers or whatever, but that this would be a blessing to us as we learn to grow as a church. So, Tamara, thank you so much. It was a blessing and a privilege to have you here speaking truth over our people, and so thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, so thank you. Band is going to come back up, and sure, we can applaud. That's fine. So we're going to continue in a time of worship, and friends, just know that the Lord loves you. Don't start where you think you should be. Start where you are, and he can do a lot. He can do a lot with five loaves and two fishes. He can do a lot with you saying, you know what, we're going to try to stop once a week for this period of time. He can do a lot with our weakness, and he can change us from the power of his Holy Spirit. So, we're going to turn to a time of worship and communion, but let me pray as we do that. Lord, it's because you gave yourself. It's because you delivered us. It's because you provided for us. It's because you are so, so good that we can have the freedom to rest in your name, to rest in your presence. In this time of communion, let it be a reminder that it's because of your great love for us that we can be free. It's because your great love for us that we can live the fullest life that you have intended for us, and that is to glorify you and to make much of you. Lord, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us of our idols. Help us to find the places that we have pridefully said that we don't have the time or we can't afford or fill in the blank. Forgive us for that and give us, give us renewed hearts. Thank you for taking us exactly where we are, grabbing our hand and bringing us closer to Jesus. So bless this time as we continue to worship. Amen.